If not, we'll continue to think about the things of God here this morning. And I wasn't quite sure what to put down as a title this morning. The miracle of healing, or I am the Lord that healeth thee, are the two things that I thought of, and I just didn't remember where we were in the Sunday school discussion. And thinking about some of these thoughts are very much in parallel, maybe a slightly different emphasis than what we talked about in Sunday school. And probably the thing that brought me to this title, or one of the things this week, is I was thinking about something to share, and been there in the morning kind of meditating one day, and looking through some messages from a friend of mine, and I saw a message from Tim Miller, and he was asking for help in praying for healing for his son. And his son Caleb, a young man, they have one, he's married, has one child, I think, was hurt badly, broke his neck, and in a construction accident. And so it's kind of in the middle of the unknowns, like, how bad is this? Is he going to be able to recover? Is he going to be able to walk? Is, you know, what kind of movement, where is he at? And so here his father, a friend of mine, was asking for healing. And you can just the implications for this young man, active and used to getting around, and yet through this sudden accident, potentially facing life altering just realities of not being able to physically get around. And so there you kind of have the desperation, just the real need healing. We want God to help fix this problem. This problem, Lord, make it better somehow. And so I was really moved by the idea there, and just the harshness, just the sadness of what is happening. And it sounds like since then he is making some recovery, a great recovery. So I don't, the jury's still out, I guess, if you will, on what it means. But just, I was struck with the idea of healing, just the need for that in life, and the things that we face of life. A couple of passages I just thought I'd start with. One in Exodus 15, I'm going to read verses 25 and 26. And this is part of the story of the Exodus. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I just like that promise coming from God. And I like just the awareness that he has. And he was talking to the children of Israel here, and he was instructing them to be diligent in their willingness to follow his commandments and keep his statutes. And God says he's going to keep these diseases that he put on the Egyptians, and then just emphasized that his control, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And we face those things in life where we just need it. It's not just physical things, although there's plenty of that, and we want to look at some more examples in the New Testament of that. But you think about the body of Christ, or maybe our families, or maybe our marriages, or maybe, you know, our friends or people that work with us, or maybe it's our siblings. Just all of these spots in life that we know are out of order, out of sorts, or not right, that we wish were better. There's just so much of that. And we wish it could change. We wish it, you know, we recognize it's a bit of a problem, and, you know, we just wish it was different, wish that somehow it could be made better. And I want to read from Mark now, and this is a story of the man Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, sometimes he's called. And I was just, again, struck by a few things from his need, his blindness, his wish, his desire for healing. So Mark 10 here, and I'm going to read, let's see, 46 to 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And we can only imagine what it would be like to be this man, to be sitting there by the side of the road and begging. That was your livelihood. That was the way you met your physical needs, to sit there and with your garment and beg, someone please help me. Someone please help me. Day after day, I'm hungry today. Can you help me? Will somebody, I'm blind, I can't see. Will somebody please help me? And I don't know what it would be like. Like I said, we can only imagine to be trapped in that situation. Just day after day, I'm still here. I'm still blind. I still can't. Somebody has to meet my needs. Just the desire for healing. Just that desire. I wish, just with all my heart, that it could be better, that I could see, that I could somehow be free from this this malady that I have. And I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know if this man was born blind or how long he had lived with this thing. He understood that others could see. And others could bring him food, and others could take care of their own need. But here he had this need, this desire for healing. And I think that we want to think about being healed or ability to be healed, and especially in a spiritual context. This is one of the things, this desire for healing. Do you have a desire for healing? You have a desire for healing. And sometimes, you know, I wonder how serious our desire for healing is. I think it's, and especially again, thinking about a spiritual context, are we just put up with this? Is it that to actually do the things that we know we need to do to be healed, it's too much hassle, too much headache. I'm just going to put up with this and not worry about being healed. And it's just not a big deal. And for myself, I had to think about, I'm sure most of you don't know this, but if I sit at a table and put my elbows on a table, or if I lean on the console of my pickup just wrong, I got this sharp pain in my elbow. This sharp, sharp little pain in there. And I don't know where I was or exactly what I was doing at the time, but I know where that little sharp pain comes from, and I can tell you what it is. Years ago, I was doing something with a fiberglass rod. You know, some of them are used for fence posts. A little fiberglass rod. I was doing something with one of those things, and I don't know if I was fencing or some of them we had some flags that we had set up, and one of these fiberglass rods had been outside and it had started to deteriorate. You know what happens when that fiberglass starts to tear? These little shards start coming, these little slivers come out off of there. And somehow I rubbed that thing on my jab. It poked me pretty good. It's a little piece of that fiberglass on there. It went in my elbow and I rubbed that thing. Oh, oops. Now, I get a lot of respect for a fiberglass rod that has deteriorated. You know, now it's maybe I handle that with gloves or try to be a little more careful. But I would say if I just had to put a number on it, I'd say 25, 30 years ago that happened. And to this day, if I put my elbow on the heart, that little thing's still in there. It's still feel that little jab, that little prick, just like a pinprick in there. For me, it's, you know, it's there. It's, but, you know, when I think about the hassle that it would take to actually take care of that, I don't know, it's just a little piece. And it don't always happen. It just when I get it just right. But maybe I'll just put up with it. It's just not that big of a deal. You know, I probably, you know, unless something changes, I'll probably die with that thing. It's just not that big a deal to me, not worth. But it's there, and it's a distraction, and I wish it was different. It's probably not worth me chasing down that little piece of fiberglass that's in there. No, that's a little thing, and some, you know, we could use that for like an illustration difference. Maybe it's okay. Maybe I should just put up with that. But there are things in our life, in our think about church life, even as a body, or your marriage, or sometimes it's just out of sorts. It's just not right. I think our desire for healing, just that I want to do something about it. I wish that healing could be found. And I think if you're going to find your way to healing, it has to start with this desire. I wish it was better. I wish it could be healed. And you see that extreme example of blind Bartimaeus there, where he was desperate. Please. And they're like, shut up. You know, don't bother this guy. And he just wouldn't have it. I am desperate to be healed. I wish it could be healed. Could it be that sometimes our lack of healing in our relationships, in our church life, in our marriages, it just comes from that lack of desire? Really see the need, that this is a problem that needs fixed, that it could be, that I wish it could be healed. And I think sometimes that, maybe I'll address that a little bit later. Healing. We want it to be better. I'm sure we've all been hurt. Many of us have had a broken leg or a deep cut or a wound of some sort in our lives that we've had to deal with. Just in humor, it humored me in thinking of this. Just the fact that we've all had pain and where that leads, and I could tell stories about this. And I just thought of Pat McManus, and he had this story about us. I think it was scars, maybe, where he asked somebody about a scar. What's that? And the guy just went on all his stories about his scars, and just he didn't want to hear it. After all, I don't need to hear about what caused all your scars in life. We've all had real issues that we've had to deal with. I thought about that, and the things that are past, the things that got better. What are the conditions that we need for healing physically? What are the actual conditions that need to happen? If you cut yourself, or if you break a leg, or if you get in a situation where something needs to heal, what are the conditions? Well, the things that I think of, and maybe I'll open it up a little bit here afterwards, but what are the conditions for healing? Well, one of the first things, if you get a deep cut, one of the first things, you got to get it clean. You know, you got to make sure there's no foreign material in there, no debris, no, bacteria. And so they use peroxide, and you got to clean it up, the situation. You got to clean it up if you really want to have healing. That's one of the conditions. Another one of the conditions is you have to stop whatever it is that's causing the wreckage. You got to stop doing that if it's a chronic issue. And I remember, and here I'm thinking of things like carpal tunnel. And I remember years ago, as a young man working in a packing room where we were bagging little bags of seed. And what it entailed is you grab the bag, open it up, put it under a spout, fill it with seed, and set it off to the next guy. And he'd grab it, run it through a sealer. This was all hand done. And so there was just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of bags. Every shift, you were doing the same movements over and over. And after a while, my wrist got to where it was really feeling that constant, continuous, same, repetitive motion. And so that's another thing that has to happen. You have to stop, give it some rest. You have to back away from it, give it a little bit of time, stop doing the thing, take the knife away, whatever it is that is causing this thing. You have to stop the wreckage. Another thing that it is with healing is just time. Hold time to heal. And we know what that's like. If you get a broken arm, likely they'll put a cast on it for 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks or something. They'll give you some time to heal that thing before that thing is back in shape to where it's strong enough to be used again. So conditions for healing. So maybe I'll open it up. Now, is there something else that comes to someone? Caleb, you should have lots of ideas. So what are the conditions for healing?
Yeah, know your injury.
Have to know your injury, yeah.
Practical sense, I suppose it could be you need to have a cancer growing inside of you.
That's right.
You can't be healing there with that unless you know that it's there. So I think
Jesus said, recognize you have a problem.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Very good. Anyone else have more conditions that you think about? For healing to take place.
Sometimes you gotta get rid of painkillers because the pain is trying to communicate something spiritual.
Way faster though. Yeah, that's true. Just a plain old. There's a book written, The Gift of Pain. Maybe I've talked about it before. It's very true. Anyone else? You know, if I think about those things, and now we know that's true in the physical sense, the things that we talk about. You have to recognize you have a problem. You have to realize your injury. You're injured. You have to have time. You have to stop the thing that's causing the wreckage. And you've got to clean it up. And we take that all of those ideas and just put it in a spiritual context. And I think they're just so true. And you think about the church as a body, or your marriage that you're trying to heal, or your family situation, or your work relationship, whatever you want to say it is, just in a spiritual context. These conditions have to be met. I think they just before there can truly be healing. Wouldn't it be nice if we were like Jesus and could just get up and walk and it was all over? You know, there's a sense in which that to repent and be born again does do that for us. It's a sudden cleaning up of a relationship. And I know that in spiritual things, when there's true repentance, when there's true forgiveness, when there's true turning to God in a united way, things can get so better so fast. I just remember that experience in that, especially in church life. A long time ago, I just remember we were really going through some things. And, you know, there was kind of some breakthrough things happened. Some changes were made. And just as a group, we were so united and in such a better place so fast. And it's just going to be a real blessing. But typically, conditions for healing, they don't happen suddenly. It takes time for it to get better. So when I think about healing then, another just kind of a set of ideas that I was thinking about is resistance to healing. And maybe us men are a little bit that way. Don't catch me in a doctor somewhere. You know, just kind of that resistance to being helped with your healing that's needed in your life. And hopefully, and I don't know, I don't have much comment on it, just raise it as an idea. Does that same attitude then go into, it can go into spiritual things. Just okay. I don't need a lot of correction, direction, or fixing. I'm just in pretty good shape. Do we resist healing? And you know that can lead to chronic things. And again, a story from my life. I remember this too happened years ago, where I was working on some machinery, and I had some stubborn bearings I was trying to take off, and they were really in an awkward place, and so I was swinging a really heavy hammer up at a really awkward angle, and I kind of felt I had strained my neck funny, but I didn't do anything about it. I was just going to be okay. I was going to power through it, and I just did that for decades. And then when it finally got to where, you know, my fingers started going numb, I couldn't feel anymore. Now I have to try to fix this and try to figure out what's wrong. You know, that resistance to healing causes more problems. It just does. And I just was, the doctor told me, you know, I was just tensed up all the time, fighting that thing that was out of place for a long time. So I used to live in that way until I was wearing my bone structure out because of that tension. Hurting people hurt other people. I think that's kind of a thing. You know, if you're in that turmoil of life, where life's not at peace and your heart's not in a good place, and you lash out, you got a short temper, you're easily offended, you're just kind of in a bad place. Resistance to being healed yourself causes more problems. I think it's just kind of a truth about healing. And sometimes that chronic pain that I feel that I haven't gotten help from, that I maybe resist working on, you know, that causes pain all around me. And I think in church life as a body, that's a real potential that we can get to that place. Or in our marriages, again, it can be that way. Why do we have this resistance to healing? Where does that come from? One of the things is, and this I've kind of alluded to this already, to truly find healing from some of our spiritual difficulties, from our mindsets or ideas, how we got to where, you know, we'd have to go so far back. Try to address some things I did wrong, or make some things right, or recognize maybe some places that I made mistakes, and now they're still with me, and they're still causing me problems. Do that. Another thing that I think causes us to kind of resist healing is, I just think it would take too long. It's plain old don't have the patience for healing. In a busy life, I think that's important for us to remember to just take the time when other people are hurting to interact. And I know what it's like to just to stand there with hopefully a neutral face and just wait for someone to work through their unfortunate problems. Just the time that takes, just to just have to be so impatient while somebody works through their nonsense and shares things that are just childish, and you know, to feel that frustration. I think it'll take too long. You know, if we want to be healed, we want to be healed as a group or as a family, I think it just takes that time. We just have to be willing to make the sacrifice, take that time. And I have to think about God as he looks down and he's running this world and he knows everything. And yet here he has said that he wants to hear, bring me your little things. Talk to me about your issues. And it's just a really good reminder, a good example, as we try to help other people to be those, like we heard about, those laborers in the kingdom. I'd like to help. You know, I've got time for your problems and your issues. We can work on this together. You know, call me anytime, middle of the night, if you have a problem. Is that my attitude? Remember. I'm sure it can be overdone, but one of my uncles one time, he had so just always late at night. I don't know if the guy was lonely or what. Eventually, you know, he just one time, and here he is again, and he said he just threw the phone under the bed and went to sleep. So he just was so tired of hearing the man come again with these needs. Well, that's not how God is. It's just not how God is. God has time for our needs, and I think we do well to remember, if we want to be healed, we need to take the time for it. tend to think that other things are more important than this time of healing. And there again, I think we do well to remember that that we're working in the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not of this world, these things of time and making a living and all the things of this world are much less important than the things of God and eternity, and just to focus on them. Resistance to healing. Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus speaking here. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I like the word heal them there, and it's just such an interesting picture of people that just like it the way it is, with all of its brokenness, and they don't want to hear, and they don't want to see, and they don't want to be converted. It's like how it is, just kind of wallowing in the way it is, don't want to fix it. Far be it from us to be those people, but rather to be quick and ready and desire God's healing, want it to be better, and really, really have that in mind, again, for family life, for church life, neighbor's desire for it to be healed. Another thing that I had to think about was thinking about this healing or resistance to it, or what it, just ideas about it. One of the things that cause us not to want to is just plain old fearful of the hearing, fearful of the pain that's caused often. That goes along with healing, and maybe you've experienced it, or those of you that have children already, some little guy come running in, and got this sliver in my hand or my toe or whatever, it just hurts, and, you know, man, I'm in pain, and as a concerned parent, I can help heal your problem, and here what I'll do, I'll get this pin. And we'll go after this sliver, and we'll get this thing out, and it'll heal it. It'll get better. Only to have the little guy look at the pen, and here, you just lay down on the couch, and I'll get this thing. And ouch, it hurt. Lay down here on the couch. He says, "Let me try. I'll just try a little bit." So you get him to lay down on the couch, and that pin just gets a little bit close. And just the pain. It hurts. This is going to hurt me. To go after that thing, so you grab him and try and hold everything still and get the resistance to get the, you know. I think it's that fear of pain sometimes in life, just the plain old... Just the fear of conflict, the fear of making things right, the fear of acknowledging the wrong things that I have done. James teaches us, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And right there's the pain. That confess your faults one to another that you may be healed, that it can be better. If you're just willing to do that. And it is my desire that we could be in a place of, as a group, of a place of trustworthiness, a place of friendship, a place of understanding, that we could be a group in a church that is just, this feels okay. The trust is there that, you know, when I show them my splinter and they try to help me fix it, you know, that they'll be gentle, they'll be careful, they'll do the best they can to not be harsh or hard with me, but they'll help me heal this pain in the least painful way forward. Fear of pain, I think, causes us to resist that healing. Fear of change, I think, is another thing, and maybe some of these changes that it'll bring, you know, for me. What does that mean? You know, if I open myself up, if I say, okay, this isn't working anymore, but then what? Well, this is what I have, and this is my option. This is what I'm used to, and this is how I've been handling the situation. That change, that lack of control that goes, you know, those are things I think that keep us sometimes from making the changes necessary. I think another thing is just plain old fear of being known. This is confession is a big part of this. And I think that the story that we read this morning is such a good example of that. This, and we don't know why all, but the lady that came and touched the hem of his garment to be fixed, you know, she didn't want to be known. Didn't want it out there. Didn't want to cause a scene. Didn't want to be the focus of the issue. Didn't want people to know her name. She just wanted healing. To the point that she was willing to come forward, but surely in a group of a godly people, where is a better place to be known, to open ourselves up, to be it's okay. Here I am. This is me. This is what I've done. Can you help me? Can we find healing for this? She only touched the hem of his garment because, you know, just because of that, the fear of being known. She didn't want to be that. And but yet, if she wouldn't have, you know, there'd have been no healing. That step that she took to reach out and say, "Please, I want healing. I want that worse than I want my privacy, and my lack of accountability. I want healing worse than that. I want life to be better." And then the last point I have here. It's just a question for each one of us that says, are you a healer? Are you a healer? This is the kind of person you are. As an individual in your relationships, in church life, in your family life, are you a healer? Hebrews 12:13 says, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And here we see the heart of God. That here is this lame thing. Here's this lame thing. And put in the thing. You know, in church life, there's lots of things that can come up. Here's this lame thing. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. And to turn it out of the way means it's rejected, and we here's the path, and we kicked it into the reject bucket, and it's not worth our time anymore, and it's lame, and it's obvious, and the thing's limping. And I recently saw a video that a man who way up in the wilderness, he had set up a trail camera, and all the wildlife that was coming through there is tremendous. It's amazing. For someone that loves the wilderness and wildlife like me, it's just crazy. He said this thing up set up over a year's time, and all kinds of critters through there, bears and badgers and mountains and bobcats and elk and deer, just the whole gamut of wildlife. It's wonderful. But one of the things that came through there was a little coyote, you know, and it appeared like he's missing the bottom half of his right rear leg. Limpity, 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 limpity. Just obviously, and how that happened way out in the wilderness, who knows? But here he is, and just clearly, obviously, to everybody watching the video, this thing has a massive problem. He is just lame. Lame as all get up. So then you have an option, right? What do you do with this thing? What are you going to do with this lame situation that everybody can see and we recognize? And it's a problem. And just as plain as the nose in your face, this thing is missing a leg. What are we going to do? And we can turn it out of the way, get rid of it, and that one's no good, and it's not perfect enough, and it's got blemishes, but let it rather be healed. Somehow make it better. Somehow fix it. Somehow fix it. And we see that in the heart of Jesus here. It says, "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" So he's asking this question around healing. And the Pharisees there, and their spirit, their demeanor, had everything to do with protection of this law and the Sabbath day, and is this Jesus going to violate this thing that we have set up or not? And he's going to get him, this Jesus. But what doesn't seem to be in focus at all was the person that needed healed. This poor guy's got a problem. And rather than focusing on the healing, something else. You know, this healing isn't, let's fix the structure. Let's get the, you know, don't do it on the Sabbath day. Let's get this right. You know, I've been in ministry, and I don't mean in the ministry, but I've been in ministry and in the ministry long enough to know that in church life, when working on things, it is awful hard to get it just right. Please everybody. It's impossible. It is sometimes to please everybody, to work on special needs, if you will, and have the group, the brotherhood behind you. Yeah, let's do it that way. And I've done it long enough to know that how important that is, how dysfunctional it is, how much wreckage can be caused by when trying to work on a special situation, all kinds of voices about what ought to be done. I think sometimes we'd be better off just don't work on this. Work on getting together before we can actually, in a united way, try to lift this thing up and heal it, make it better. And so the question for us, well, one more verse here, 1 Corinthians 12:9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And I think that there are people in church life that God has entrusted the gift of healing with, making it better, finding a way, reaching out to people, getting close to people's hearts. You know, and I covet that, and I admire that when I see that in others. I think Apostle Paul said about Timothy that I have no other man who will naturally care for your state. And I like that comment about Timothy as a man who was, he set out to be that protection, that guide, that healing, that person who was able to recognize, to see the need, to see it was there, and to find a way to care for it, to make it better, to heal it. It's a gift that the church is given through the Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And I like that. I value that. The question comes back to us then. As you conduct yourself in church life, and problematic situations, are you a healer? Is that your heart? I want it to be better. I want to find that path to healing. Two verses here in closing. One, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. I like that promise of healing. God wants to come to our situations and make it better. Humble ourselves and pray. That desire for healing. Do we want it to be better? You know, I think my dad has said already, in watching some married couples, what situation is, but it just really stuck with me as he talked about their inability to move beyond the constant battle. Well, obviously, they like the fight. They like the fight. And they're just comfortable with where they are. They prefer that to healing. And we've looked at the reasons why. But far be it from us to have a body or a marriage that would prefer a battle to true healing. God would like to forgive our sins and heal our land. And here again, just in this, am I a healer? I'm convicted by this mandate, this work, this way of life of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And so that is the work of God, is to take these situations that maybe to some of us seem so obvious, and use my time, my talent, it's my ingenuity, my thoughts, my prayers. Except press in and be that healing person to the brokenness around.